So Parshas Tzav. All right, we're getting deep into Vayikra. Good friend of mine also has Yortzeit tonight for his father. Shalom Spitz's father, very, very special person, Mensch Tam Chacham. His name was Naftali Tzvi Ben Rabbi Yeshua. I used to babysit for his grandchildren, and so he used to sometimes come. We miss him still, so we're going to dedicate this year in his memory. Parshas Tzav. We have an ongoing running debate in my family. When you go out for dinner, should you tip the waiter? I was at a wedding on Wednesday night? A lot of fun. Yona Goldschneider was actually one of the Edim. That boy danced up a storm. You could tell him, I heard, you could say, we heard unofficially you're a very good dancer. Okay. And the waitress who was responsible for our table was like Me'al Me'ever. She was like so, you know how sometimes you go to a wedding and or a bar mitzvah, you just want, you didn't get your food, you know, you're missing something, there's no can opener for the, right? This waitress was so there. And you could see she was managing a few tables. And she came over and she kept asking us what we needed. She brought us our food on time and she said, do you need salt? She went and got some salt, like mamash beseder. So at the end, I said, you know, I'm going to leave her a tip. I think it's a nice thing to do. You become more aware of this if your kids ever worked as a waiter. Anybody here work as a waiter? Right? It's like, it's a mensch thing to do if you do good service to get a tip. So somebody in my family, one of my married-ins, he's vehemently against giving a tip. He said, what does that mean? Person has a job to do. They should do it well. Right? It's unhealthy to give a tip. Now, he has a different sheet up because he thinks there are actually a lot of restaurants that don't pay waiters because they know the waiters get tips and the waiters live off tips. And some of them do well because they get a lot of tips. They're in a high-traffic restaurant or whatever it is. He says it's because we all tip that these restaurants get away with not paying a salary. I said, if everybody stopped tipping, of course they're going to have to give them a salary, but then they're just going to raise the prices. You'll pay the same money for your dinner. So this is like an ongoing debate. Now, what made me think of that? I remember, I'm going to make a long story very short. My parents were coming to visit Israel, and I was in basic training. And I wanted to ask if I could get out, like, you know, to meet them at the airport. Now, my parents did me a tremendous chesed because they were flying in on Thursday afternoon. Okay? And on Thursday afternoon in tanks, basically, you finish all your maneuvers and training by Thursday afternoon. Thursday afternoon, night, all night long, you're cleaning the tanks. So you don't really need to be there for cleaning the tanks. You're not going to miss anything, right? Even though every time you do it, you get a little better at it. And because you're still in basic training, you can't just go over to your commander and say, you know, my parents are coming. You have to write a letter, and it has to be written a certain way. Ela memem derech hasamal, right? And you have to hand it in, and then they have to hear it, and then they come to call you to talk to you about it, and you have to stand at attention. And I had given this in, like, you know, a week and a half before, and we're still terrified of our commanders. I'm still in basic training, and I don't quite know how to find out what's going on, but I kind of figured out if I go and ask them, I'd get in trouble. So I just had to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the guy calls me over. Okay, it's Thursday morning. Okay, we had just finished a run and we had a couple classes, right? And he calls me to the entrance to the commander's tent, and he says, "You know, you made a request. You want to get out? Thank you. You want to get out, which, as you'll discover, is very important in this context. You want to get out, and so it went to the memem." And he's decided that you're going to be allowed to go out. So we're going to finish these classes, whatever, then get up on your dress uniform. You'll come for inspection, and you can make the bus this afternoon and go pick up your parents at the airport, because I'm a chayal boded and whatever, right? I'm like, you don't understand, like, I'm getting out. And it happened to be that Shabbat was, everybody was staying on base. So not only was I getting out, but I wasn't supposed to get out the whole Shabbos. So I'm going to get out Thursday afternoon, get to meet my parents at the airport. They're going to stay in a hotel. I'm going to eat like a king. This is unbelievable. So what do you say? So I said, Toda Abam Fakid. Thank you, sir. I instantly knew I made a mistake. I didn't know what the mistake was, but I knew I made a mistake, right? Because his face goes, was it? Right? What? I'm like, you know what I did wrong. Toda Abam Fakid. I told him Toda. But Tzavah lo omrim Toda. There's no thank you in the army. And then he does what every basic trainee, right, hates to hear. He looks around and he says, you see that tree up there? How do you think that sentence ends? Go run to that tree and be back here in 30 seconds. I spent the next half an hour running everywhere he could find for me to run. And when I was finished schwitzing, he said to me, thank God he didn't take away my pass. And I remembered that lesson. And I struggled with that lesson. Now I understand why the army says that. Like, you do what you do because you're ordered to do it. There's a pkuda, there's a thank you in the army. On the other hand, if somebody does something well, there should be a sense of thanks. Now, why do I bring this up? Because in this week's parsha, right, we mentioned last week, we talked about the fact that there are four different parshiyot in the Torah, four different basic karbanos, right? You have the karban ola, which is the whole burnt offering. You have the karban chatas and the asham. And you have the karban shlamim, you have a mincha. But there's a karban shlamim, right? And also a karban todah. And this week, even though the Karban Shlamim is mentioned in last week's Parsha, Perek Gimel, but now we're going to get into it. One of the Karbanot that we talk about in Parsha Tzav is the Karban known as the Karban Todah. Right? Vizot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. Now this is the Torah, these are the halachos of a Shlamim. Okay? Asher Yakriv Lashem. Im al Todah Yakrivenu v'kriv al Zevach Todah Chalot Matzot Lulot B'Shemen v'kikei Matzot Meshuchim B'Shemen v'solot Murvechet Chalot Lulot B'Shemen Al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano. And we start talking about the halachos of a korban todah. Now it's an interesting question. What exactly is a korban shlamim? And what is a korban todah? And why are they included in the same perek when they're not exactly the same korban? So we need to understand that. Right? What's the difference? And why do we bring these korbanos? So we're going to talk a little bit about the korban todah. Right? What would you assume that a korban todah is all about? It's about giving thanks. It's about appreciating, you know, the things that come into your life. You know, I have a vivid memory. Some of you will remember that in the summer of 2001, on August 9th, actually, on the 20th of Av, I was sitting in Sparrow's Pizzeria when a suicide bomber walked in and blew himself up. 15 people were dead. I was actually, my uncle's yahrzeit was this week, and we went to Har Menuchot to honor his memory. And the Shiva Neuder family, five of whom were murdered on that day, are all buried one next to each other. Right down to the four-year-old boy who was buried in this just heartbreaking little kever. Right? And every year when I go to my uncle's kever on his yahrzeit, my aunt now, and I pass by those kvarot, I take a moment. And I put a stone on each grave because you kind of realize I could easily have been in one of those. I could have been one of those graves. Like, this close. Right? And I remember the moment that I got home that evening from that whole day. I didn't, you know, my wife already knew, right? And I walked in and I had blood on my shirt from whatever ferrying wounded. And all the kids, you know, they little kids, they always used to come to the door to greet me when I would come in, whatever. And I started hugging them. And my daughter, our eldest, Mayan, who was 10 at the time, looks at me and says, Abba, is everything okay? What's going on? I guess I hugged her a little more than I normally do. Because you have this moment. Like, it hits you. Like, you would have missed all this. I would have missed her wedding. I would have missed all four of their weddings. I would never have met Eliel, who married Mayan, and Eleanor, who married Yonatan, etc., etc. I would never have met my five grandchildren. I don't know if a writer would have been, but it for sure wouldn't have been with me. So many different things that would never have happened. And I had this moment, which I couldn't even fully comprehend how thankful I should be, because I didn't know what it was I was being thankful for, because that was the next 20, 30 years. But I had this moment of pure thanksgiving, pure appreciation. Now the Gemara says, right, Karban Shlamim, you bring as an adava, you can bring it as an adava. You know, Rav Shimshon Feil Hirsch says the Karban Shlamim, person brings, because they feel like they have it all. Baruch Hashem, b'li ayin hara. I have four children. They all got married. There's an Ashkenaz minhag to dance a special dance called the mazinka. Anybody see a mazinka dance ever? You dance a mazinka at a wedding when you marry off your last child. I always thought it was a cute minhag. I didn't understand it until our last child got married. She was actually the third out of four. The fourth got married before the third, and that also creates a certain... And it was so incredible. And my kids made an effort. They knew, like, it would be me if they bought these, like, pagan laurel leaves, whatever. It's a little shtickle of Avodah Zarah, but whatever. But it was just such a powerful moment. And the minhag is that all your kids and grandchildren dance around and you sit in the middle. Now, I'm not usually comfortable sitting in the middle of a circle. I don't make a fuss. Like, I like to make a fuss. But in that moment, it was just like, it was almost like a carbon toda. So shlomim is that you realize you're blessed. You married the woman of your dreams. You have healthy children. Your parents are alive and well. This wedding that I was at this week, they announced the names of all the grandfathers who weren't there. Out of the 8 grandparents that a couple normally has, only 2 were able to be. One was in America and one was able to be there. My kids had all 8 of their grandparents at all of their weddings. What an unbelievable bracha. That's a karban shlamim. Just to appreciate the gift of the completion and the wholeness in your life. And that's a nedava. That's something you're not obligated to do that. What is a karban toda? So karban toda is a little bit different. Karban toda comes from Tehillim Perek Kuf Zayin. David HaMelech is giving praise out of gratitude for the things that he's been saved from in his life. David HaMelech went through many svaros, and he could easily have been killed many times by a lion, by a bear, by Goliath, by Plishti armies, by Shaul HaMelech. It's like he's not just a cat with 9 lives. He's got 29 lives. And he has this outpouring of gratitude. Yomru Geulei Hashem, let those who were redeemed by Hashem, Asher Galam Miyatzar, because Hashem has redeemed them from narrow straits, from difficult times. Tau Bamidbar Vishimon Darach, they got lost in the desert. Vayitzaku al Hashem Batzar, and they called out to Hashem in their angst. Vayadrichem B'derech Yisharah, and Hashem takes them in a straight journey, tells them how to get out of their trouble. Right, Yodu Lashem Chazdo v'Niflotav l'Bnei Adam. This is a song they sing at weddings. You've heard the song Yodu Lashem Chazdo, Yodu Lashem. That's from Tehillim Kuf Zayin, right? Ki Shubar Dlatot Nechoshev, right? Because the doors of the prison have been broken open, right? Yishlacht V'Rovi Yupayim, the person who gets sick and is healed, right? Tehillim Kuf Zayin is describing the events that a person goes through that he's saved from. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Dalet explains, right, that there are actually, this is on Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Arba Tzrichin Leodot. There are 4 individuals who have to give thanks. This is not like you should be thankful. This is like you have a chiyuv. You're obligated to be thankful. Now, what are these 4 instances? Yordei Hayam, a person who travels on the sea. In fact, there's an interesting debate. Without getting too into the halakhic discussion, there's actually a difference of opinion between Sephardi poskim, Ashkenazi poskim. There are some who will only say, by the way, what is the modern day appellation of the korban toda? We can't bring a korban toda anymore. Pardon? Birchas Hagoma. So Birchas Hagoma, that's what this Gemara talks about, right? Yordei Hayam. So there are some who will only say this bracha if you actually, you know, go through a desert. Or you actually come out of the sea, right? Holchei Midbar is the second. Cholev in his Mape is the third. Person who's sick. And Chovesh Beveta Asurim V'yatza. Somebody who's released from prison. Those are the 4 instances, right? The tour actually notices that, right? V'cholach Chayim Yodu Chasela. Every living creature should give you Hodaya, should give you thanks. So he says that the word chayim reminds us of these 4 instances, right? Chavush, which is a person who's in prison. Yisurim, a person who's in pain. In other words, he needs to be healed. Right? Yam v'midbar. Those are the 4 instances. And the Gemara says, right? How do I know? Where do I know you have this chiyuv? Right? And it learns it from Tehillim Kuf Zayin. So this Mizmor in Tehillim tells us that there are 4 instances that a person has to give, has to bring a korban toda. Okay. By the way, it's interesting that the order, we're not going to get into this, the Rambam, Paskins Lalocha, right? In, where would you find this? Hilchos? Where would you find this? Come on. Now, Birchos HaGomel. Brachos. Whenever I have a chiyuv, Lalocha, which related to a korban, but now we do something else instead of a karban, the Rambam's also going to put that where we do it now. This is a practical set of halacha, right? So the Rambam says, Arba tzrichin laudot, cholosh nisrape, chavush, sheyotzen beis asurim, yordei yam kshe'alu. And he brings these four cases, but it's interesting, he brings them in a different order. And it's actually interesting that the Gemara also brings them in a different order than the Tehillim. And Tosfos, right? Tosfos notices this, and he says the following. I'm going to leave you here with this question, because we're not going to do this tonight, but... In the Gemara it says the person who travels on the sea, the person who walks through the desert, the person who gets healed, the person who released from prison. But in the Psukim, it doesn't start with the desert, right? Right? In Tehillim, the desert comes first, and in the Gemara, right, the seafarer comes first. So Toso says, right? Dekra nakat seder hamisukanin yoter. The pasuk in Tehillim goes in order of what's more dangerous, and the Gemara nakat hamitsuyin tchila. It goes in the order of what's more common. Most people don't get released from prison, but people will very often go on a journey, and they'll certainly get sick. Now that leaves you with an interesting question: why does the Gemara change this? And the Rambam also changes the order. So if anybody wants to do an interesting project, it's an interesting thing to look up. But okay. But let's see where we go with this, right? So the Rambam paskins, and he concludes this halacha, right? The ketzad mevarech, omeid b'neinu mevarech, bruchat Hashem lokenu melech halam, hagomel l'chayvim tovot shek malani kol tov. So brichas hagomel is brought down in the Gemara, it's brought down in the Rambam, right? This is the bracha we have to make. This is a chiyuv d'rabbanan. It's designed to remind us of the korban todah, right? Now, what's interesting is, so when else do we mention Todah, the Korban Todah? There's a Mizmor that we say. Mizmor L'Todah. Now, Mizmor L'Todah is talking about, you know, the thanksgiving that we give when we offer a Korban Todah, right? And that's very interesting because in Mizmor L'Todah, first of all, there are a couple of questions regarding Mizmor L'Todah, right? First of all, we offer a Korban Todah at four very specific moments. Why do we say Mizmor L'Todah every day? By the way, do we say Mizmor L'Todah every day? When do we not say Mizmor L'Todah?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Does anybody know why we don't say Mizmor L'Todah on Shabbos? Anybody know? Pardon? Because you can't bring, why can't you bring a Korban Todah? You can bring a Korban Tamid on Shabbos. Pardon?
It's not a chiyuv.
Because it's a chiyuv, but it's not a chiyuv on that day. Like Korban Pesach you can offer on Shabbos, but you can't offer a Korban Todah. Because Korban Todah is something that you're voluntarily bringing because you, in fact, there's a whole halach discussion about, you know, if let's say you were on a plane and you're knowing to make Berachas HaGomel, or you're in a serious wind shear on a plane and you decide you want to make Berachas HaGomel. So, you know, there is an idea that we shouldn't talk about that you should do it in front of a Sefer Torah. In fact, the Rambam says you should do it in front of a minyan and two Talmidei Chachamim, and there's a big discussion whether you need a minyan and two Talmidei Chachamim, or whether they're included in minyan, are you included in minyan? That's a whole interesting discussion, right? So what happens if you get back from a plane trip and you get back on Monday afternoon, so you miss Kriyas Torah on Monday? You're supposed to make Birchas HaGomel within 3 days of having developed the obligation to say Birchas HaGomel. But if you wait until you have a Sefer Torah, it's going to be more than 3 days. So which is more important? So there's a big machlokas. Some say you wait for the Sefer Torah. Many poskim say, I think this is how we paskin, that you're actually better off, you know, sort of saying it sooner within the 3 days. But okay, so why do we say, right? When else do you not say Mizmor L'Todah? Erev Pesach. Why don't you say it Erev Pesach? We'll get back to that in a second. And by the way, you don't say it all Pesach. Who does say Mizmor L'Todah Erev Pesach and Pesach? I'll give you a hint. You want to answer the question?
Sfaradim
say Mizmor L'Todah and Pesach, right? They have a different perception. We'll get to why. So that's an interesting question, right? Other question. So if I'm going to say this Mizmor called Mizmor L'Todah and it's supposed to remind me of a carbon, where would I expect to find it? In Karbanos. We have a whole section of Karbanos. I read you from the fifth parak of Zvachim, right? The six instances of an Asham last week from Karbanos. And there's a little paragraph about the Ola, and there's a paragraph about the Ketoret, and there's a paragraph about the Kior. Why is Mizmor Toda not there? Why is Mizmor Toda in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra? Interesting, right? Okay. So, Rashi, interestingly enough, in Perek Gimel, which is where the Shlomim is mentioned, Rashi says that the reason that Toda and Shlomim are related is because Korban Shlomim makes Shleimut. It creates peace and brings people together and make things whole because everybody wins in a Korban Shlomim. You're bringing some on the Mizbeach, some gets burnt on the Mizbeach. You give some to the Kohanim, and you also take some. And we'll see whether that's all there is, right? Okay? But the Korban Toda is different from a Korban Shlomim. And this is where it gets interesting, okay? First of all, the Psukim tell us that you have to bring a huge amount of bread. How many loaves do you have to bring for a Korban Toda? Anybody know? This is unbelievable. 40 loaves. 30 of them are matzos. There are three types of matzah loaves. They're really matzahs, but whatever. By the way, when I say loaves, so we don't think of matzot as loaves, but if you were a Yemenite, matzot in the Yemenite community look like pitot. When I was in Gush, the second year I was in Gush, I had a ram called Rav Shabtai HaKohen Rappaport. He was a genius Talmud Chacham. He was direct descendant of the Shach. He was a Kohen Miuchas. In fact, I wanted to use him for Pidyon HaBen, but I got outvoted by the family. But in any event, the Vilna Gaon actually did Pidyon HaBen again with every Kohen he ever met until he met a direct descendant of the Shach, and then he stopped doing it. Because he said, he's Shabtai HaKohen. He was a Kohen Miuchas all the way back to the times of Beit Sheni. But in any event, you bring, like, so we went to his house once on Pesach, he invited us on Chol HaMoed, and he brought out pitot. And a few of us, like, kind of freaked out, like, what's going on here? And he had himself a good laugh, because halachically, they make matzos, you know, less than 18 minutes, do everything, but they let them rise a little bit, and they look like pitot. The Yemenites' matzos look like pitot. So if you ever go to a Yemenite for Pesach, and you trust the kashrus, you can eat those matzos, don't worry about it. But in any event, there are 40 loaves. Now, 30 of them are matzot. There are three types of matzah loaves. Okay, you have chalot, which are like oven-baked matzahs. You have rikikin, which are like, I don't really fully understand it. They're wafers. They're kind of saturated in oil. And the third are rivuchot, which are like fried in oil. Three types of different matzah. Okay? And there are 10 of each. And you give one of that tenth, which kind of reminds us of Maaser, to the Kohen, and you get to eat the other nine. And then there are 10 loaves of bread. Now that's very unique. There is no other Korban Yachid that an individual brings that has chametz. Why are we bringing chametz? Where's the only other Korban where you bring chametz? Pardon? On Shavuot. What's it called? The Shtei Halechem. No, the Omer is barley, right? It's not chametz. Right? But the Shtei Halechem that you offer up on Shavuot, which is the Korban Shlomim and the Korban Toda, right? That is chametz. That's the only other instance of chametz. Why am I bringing chametz? Number one. Number two, this is an enormous, I mean, it's an enormous amount of bread. Shtei Alechem is two whole loaves, and that's a lot. This is 40 loaves. And by the way, just do a little simple math, even for those of us who went into Chinuch. If you give 1 out of 10 to the Kohen, what does that leave you with? 36 loaves. That is an enormous amount. And I'll tell you something else in it, right? And by the way, the Gemara in Zvachim, it's Gemara in Menachos, and Daf... Samach Gimel. The Gemara Menachos says that the way that they made the loaves was that they have three times the volume. There was a lot more shemen that they put into it, and there was more dough. It was three times the volumes of the matzos. That means that the 10 loaves of bread were the equivalent of 30 loaves. So that means if the normal carbon has, you know, a couple of loaves, like a mincha has a couple of loaves of matzah, this has the equivalent of 60. It's an unbelievable amount. Why am I bringing so much, right? It's a huge amount of bread. There are 20 isronim, okay, of flour, right, for these 10 loaves of bread, which is the equivalent, just so you understand, right? It's you need one isaron. Anybody ever see somebody bake enough challah to do a freshest challah? That's a lot of challah, right? That's one isaron. One isaron is the amount that you have to bake in order to be chayav in a fresh challah, in setting aside challah. This is 20 isronim, and that's just the 10 loaves. I'm not even talking about the matzahs. That's unbelievable, right? So why do I need so much bread? And I'll tell you another difference. This is the last difference, right? Unlike a regular shlamim, I offer it on Monday morning. Till when can I eat it? You can't just eat it for weeks, right? It has to be, right? You have no time. So if I offer it on Monday morning, I have until Thursday morning. Alosa Shachar. Chazal said, this is the first mission in all of Shas, right? That you have to eat it by Chatzos. Why do we have to eat it by Chatzos? Right? Larchikta damin avera. Right? Because you might mess up, and if you don't eat it by the time you're supposed to eat it and it's not burnt on the Mizbeach, that's a very serious issue. Okay, one second. So you have to eat it. But a Karban Todah, if you offer it on Monday morning, you actually have to finish it by Tuesday morning. And Chazal say, and this is the halacha, you have to eat it by Chatzos. So if I'm going up to Yerushalayim, and you know how it is, you want to go up there and offer up the Karban, but the photographer isn't there, and grandma's taking her time. So it's 11 in the morning by the time you offer it. And now you can eat the loaves, and you've got the equivalent of 60 loaves to eat, and you only have until midnight to eat it all. You have one day to eat it all. That's crazy. It's an unbelievable amount. Why is the Torah demanding that I eat it by that night, but at the same time telling me there's so much to eat? What's going on? And why are we saying this every day when it's clear? Now, by the way, why? So going back to a question you asked before, so why don't I say Mizmor L'Todah on Erev Pesach?
Because we move the Korban on Erev Pesach, so that we have time for the...
Nope, much simpler answer.
You can't eat that bread.
Pardon?
You can't eat that bread.
You can't eat the bread. They didn't offer up a Korban. You can't offer a Korban Torah on Erev Pesach. Because on Erev Pesach, you only have a couple hours to eat it. You're not going to be able to eat it. When else, therefore, wouldn't I eat it? Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, you don't offer up a Korban Torah. Yom Kippur, you don't offer up a Korban Torah because you don't offer up a Korban Yachid anyway. Right? On Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, right? You don't offer up an Adava or a Korban of an individual. But Erev Yom Kippur, you don't eat it because you won't have time to eat it. And Erev Pesach, and by the way, since it has Chametz, so the Ashkenaz Poskim say, you don't say Mizmor L'Todah on Pesach. Why? Because you wouldn't have brought a Korban Todah on Pesach because it's Chametz. You would wait until after Pesach. So therefore, you don't offer it. Now, why did the Sfardim say, they're tricky, these Sfardim. Why did the Sfardim say that you do say Mizmor L'Todah? So give me two more minutes, we'll finish the shiur and you'll have your answer. Right? So what's going on here? Right? So one last thing. Let's just take a very quick look at this Mizmor. This is a chance to appreciate something you say in Davening every day. Right? Mizmor L'Todah. Right? So I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to make four quick points about Mizmor L'Todah. Hagiu Hashem kol ha'aretz, ivdu et Hashem b'simcha bo lefanav b'onana. And what's the difference between simcha and rina? What is simcha? We've talked about this before. It's all about purpose. Okay? Why is that important here? Why in Korban Todah, which is be thankful, why is it important it comes b'simcha? Right? Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha comes from this Mizmor. And by the way, why am I saying Mizmor Kuf every day, which is Mizmor L'Todah? Why don't I say Kuf Zayin, which is Hodul Hashem Chazdo, which is, those are the psukim from which I learned the halachos of Birchas HaGomel. Even though the Torah says, no, the Avodah Ram says that there's an illusion in Mizmor Kuf, which is Mizmor L'Todah, because the name of Hashem is mentioned, anybody want to know? Four times. That's an allusion to the four individuals who are obligated to offer or to give a Birchas HaGomel. But okay. So first of all, what's the difference between Simcha and Rina? So Rina, the best example of this is when Nadav and Avihu die. Right before, what is going on in the Mishkan right before Nadav and Avihu meet their mysterious death? Anybody remember? Chanukata HaMishkan. What's the date, by the way? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Very good. Okay, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right? And whatever happens in Nadav and Avihu. But right before that, right, the Jewish people write, Teitzei Esh B'Lifnei Hashem, Fatochal, and it consumes the karbanos on the mizbeach. Vayar ha'am, right? Vayaronu kol ha'am vayivnu al pneihem. The whole people see this. Now, they're overjoyed. Why are they so overjoyed? According to Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. Why are we building a Mishkan? What's it giving us kapara for? Chet Ha'egel. Do you know what's interesting? From the time of Chet Ha'egel until the Mishkan is dedicated, the Jewish people have no communication with Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the people who saw 10 plagues. They saw the sea split. They Hashem talked to them. They experienced the miracles of Hashem. Nada. They're sitting in the desert at the foot of Sinai, having done the Chet Ha'egel. They're building this Mishkan, and Hashem isn't talking to them. That's got to be an extremely difficult thing. And all of a sudden, on the eighth day of the Yemei Miluim, the dedication of the Mishkan, fire comes out and consumes the Mizbeach. So what are the Jewish people, when they see this, what are they thinking? We are back. Hashem has forgiven us. It's acceptance. And they experience this joy. You know, it's like, sometimes you go to a wedding. The guy's 20 years old, meets his girlfriend when she's in ninth grade, and they're getting married, everybody's happy. Sometimes you go to a wedding, and there's a person getting married, and you know how hard it was for them. She's 27, and she dated so many guys, and she so wanted to be married. She couldn't find the right guy. And then she finds the right guy, and you get to know the guy, and you get to, and it's like perfect. It's mamash. Kadosh Baruch Hu waited to make the shidduch in heaven. And the joy at that chuppah is overwhelming. It's unbelievable. There are no words. It's like the difference between a woman who gives birth because she got married. Now she's 19, she gives birth. And a woman who's 29, and she's been trying to have children for 7 years. I had a student who got married, and they couldn't have children for like 7 or 8 years. And they went through in vitros and everything. And finally Hashem was mezakeh them, and she gave birth to twins. And I had kind of seen them through all this whatever, and they called me up like 2 days before the bris. They wanted me to come to the bris, and they asked me to name the babies. Right? Like I was holding one of them. It's an interesting thing. You do a bris, take the baby out, you don't do them together. That's another discussion. But I can't even tell you. It was hard to say the bracha because there was so much joy. There's joyous moments you have in your life. There's just no words. You can't put into words such joy. That's rina. Vayiplu al pneihem. They didn't even know what to do with themselves. Right? So on the one hand, ibdut Hashem b'simcha, bo'ul afanav bernana. Be before Hashem and rina. Be so overwhelmed with joy that there are no words. I have to give you the words to say. Now this is interesting. You remember this because you say this every day. How do you spell the word velo? Right? Ki Hashem hu Elokim hu asanu velo anachnu. Amo v'tzon marita. How do you spell the word lo? Lamed vav. Or? Lamed aleph. So this is what you call a kri uksiv. It's written one way. You can look this up in the Tanakh. It's written one way. It's written as the word lamed aleph, lo, and that would mean ki Hashem Elokim hu asanu, velo anachnu. He made us and not us. Everything we do that we take credit for, it's not us. Hashem did it. But the creed, the way we say it, the way we read it, the way we understand it, is the word lo lamed vav, velo anachnu, and everything we are is all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, whenever you have a kri uksiv, it means that there are two ideas and they're both important. Why do I have a kri uksiv here? And why specifically here in this moment of Thanksgiving are we called mar ito? That we are Hashem's flock, right? What is that about? Okay. So let me give you two basic ideas. First, why do we say Mizmor Todah every day? Because that's the problem. Hashem says, if you got out of jail and you don't want to make a gomel, there's something wrong with you. You have to make a gomel. When you have an experience like that, you have a chiv. You have to be thankful for that gift, for getting healthy. But what's interesting about that is, who wouldn't be thankful for getting better? Anybody here ever break a leg? Ever break a leg or an arm? How do you feel? You finally get the foot out of the cast, do a little physio. Yeah, that first day where you can walk. It's unbelievable. You're walking around just appreciating walking on your legs, right? And you walk next to somebody and say, I'm walking on my legs. Right? Where's Aviel? Is Aviel here? This would have been perfect, but all right. He had his last physio today. Right? Last physio.
What is physio?
Baruch Hashem, right? I hope it was the last physio, right? And he's, you know, he gets to walk. We don't appreciate walking right now like he does. So the problem is that we have these four instances where we appreciate the miracles Hashem does for us, but we should appreciate the miracles Hashem does for us every day. It's a miracle you're breathing. It's a miracle we live in a state of Israel. It's a miracle my heart is continuing to beat. There's so many miracles. So Mizmor L'Todah, even though it's an idea that happens for very specific events, we say it every day. Because we should appreciate and remember. And that's why we say it in Pesukei Dezimra. And it's very interesting. There's a Medrash, which is in Medrash Rabbah, which says the following. Very interesting. The Tur, by the way, quotes this Medrash. The Medrash says, see if I can find it, Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Lev, Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shem, Rabbi Nachem, Le'atid Lavo, in the future, in Yemos HaMashiach, Kol HaKarbonot B'Teilin. Right? We won't need to bring any of these Karbonos. Why? Because there'll be no chatan. We're living in the time of Mashiach. And you won't need to appreciate everything. We might not even be physical beings. The Karban Todah ain't no bato. But Karban Todah will not be canceled. Kol HaTfilot B'Teilot, all the Tfilot will be canceled. You won't need to daven for anything. We'll have it all. Hahudah in a b'teilah. But the tefillot of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is something that will always be. It's a part of the human experience that we need to constantly have. And that's why we say Mizmor L'Todah every day. And it sits in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. Right? So that's the first thing. Right? The first thing is that gratitude is always important. And the Karban Todah serves to remind me. And Birchas HaGomel, and the Mizmor L'Todah that I say every day, do I appreciate? Am I grateful for the things that I need to be grateful for? Which is everything. Like, did you take a moment today to really be grateful? I do not remember the last time I had a day where I wasn't grateful at some point in the day. Because I decided a long time ago to make that a habit. It makes you a better human being. And there's so many sidebars to this, but it'd be to take me too long to get there. Second and the last idea for the night. So, how do you finish up 40 loaves of bread? Okay? 40 loaves of bread by midnight. Listen to this Netziv. This is geschmacked. The Netziv, Naftali Tzihuda Berlin, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. Volozhin was one of the great yeshivot. It was in Lithuania in the middle to late 19th century. The Netziv has a lot of his philosophy that's very inclusive and open-minded, etc. But he's also the one who closed down his yeshiva because the Russians insisted that they study Russian and math. He refused to allow secular studies into yeshiva. Something to think about there. By the way, who was one of the Netziv's most famous students? Rav Kook. Rav Kook. Rav Chaim was the co-Rosh yeshiva. He was the Mashgiach who became Rosh yeshiva. Right? But the Netziv, no, Rav... In fact, the Netziv was the one who pushed Rav Kook to go into Rabbanus, so that's a good story. But anyway, listen to this. We'll finish with this. Listen to this. This is great. Okay? The Tachlit Todah Sheba Al Anes. The essence of Korban Todah, of bringing a Todah, is that it comes from the miracle. Who kedei l'saper chasdei Hashem shegamal alav. So that you have a chance to tell the chesed that Hashem did for me, right? You do a Sudat Todayah because you survived sparrows. So you can tell everybody that you survived sparrows. So you can appreciate the chesed that Hashem did. Umitam zen, because of this, riba katub belechem, umi'et bezman. The Torah demands a lot of food, but a lot less time. Right? Achilas todah mikol shlamim. It's much more bread and much more food than a shlamim and much less time. Why? Because how do you finish all that food? How do you finish all that food? Yes. You invite all your friends, right? Kedei shiyem mar bereim l'suda akas b'yom akrava v'yeh sipur anes lifnei rov anashim. Then you have to invite everybody. And first of all, b'rov am hadrat melech. You'll get a chance to tell everybody about the miracle. And second of all, the gratitude that you have will allow you to create achdus, to bring people together, to be part of a larger community, right? And why do we add chametz here? Because chametz represents prosperity, represents wealth, represents that things are full, that I'm surrounded by people, that I make a suda. You don't make a big party and give out matzah. You make a big party and you give out, you know, croissants, right? And that's what... I don't know where you guys, but you will tell him later. Okay. Right? So the Korban Mincha, the Korban Todah, is an opportunity to appreciate what we have, to be grateful, to share that with our community, to create an event that engenders a deeper relationship with your community in the context of what we appreciate. Now, this year has been a difficult year. Not an easy year. And a lot of people focus on what we've lost. Right? There are over 550, over 1,500, I think, Israelis who've been killed since this started. Well over 500 soldiers. Hostages. Wounded. Horrible. We got to make sure that while we think about what we've lost and try to be there for those that are closer to those losses, that we don't forget what we have. You know, Rav Perez, at the funeral of his son, and all they had to bury was some blood. It was a powerful levaya. And he said that he and his wife and his family decided they're not going to focus on what isn't, they're going to focus on what is. There'll be time to mourn for a long time, forever. But today they're going to appreciate what they have. And he looked at his son, Yonatan. And you remember the story. Yonatan was a Mempeh in Sanchanim. And he went off to fight on October 7th. And he was wounded seriously in the leg. And but for the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they could have buried two sons. And he looked at his son at Levaya. And he said, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the Chasdei Hashem that you're here with us to mourn your brother. Put aside how you have the emunah to make a statement like that. Like, that's what Korban Todah is. We're sitting here in Yerushalayim. We've just spent the last 6, 7, 8 months learning Torah together. With all the challenges and the things we didn't get to do and maybe things we won't get to do in Kaizman. But what about what we've experienced and what we have and what a bracha to be with each other and to be here learning. And we have now 10 days left to this man to decide what to do with that appreciation. To milk every last minute of Lima Torah, every minute of Eretz Yisrael, everything we can gain from this man, to put the cap on such a powerful experience. And I think every day when we say Mizmor LaTodah, take a moment. Think of one thing that you're thankful for, one thing you appreciate. And if you make this a habit like I do every day, you'll become a more thankful person. And that'll make you a healthier human being. That's a little food for thought. Parshas Tzav.